Hello and welcome to The Music and the Movies, a program that looks at and listens to the sweet spot where music and movies intersect. In this hour, we ponder the special alchemy that happens when sound meets image, where music lovers and cinephiles come together. We explore a different theme in each episode, arranged around an idea or a person, and we delve into why some of our favorite movie moments are also musical ones. My name is Robert Horton. I'm a movie critic and historian and a member of the National Society of Film Critics. I'll play some music and talk about it in an attempt to get to the bottom of a lifelong fascination with why film is so especially intoxicating when music is involved. And at the end of each show, I'll round things off with the trailer, a particular cut that either didn't fit into the overall flow or has some special meaning to me or just so weird it deserves its own spot. So join us, won't you, for The Music and the Movies. Today's episode, Western Themes. I was in the mood to hear music from Western movies, and because we did a previous show on Western movie theme songs, like the Ballad of High Noon, this time out it's not songs we're dealing with, but big orchestral scores. Although you will hear some chorale voices along the way. And it turned out that I mostly ended up picking things from that great era for stirring orchestral scores, you know, sort of the late 40s into the 50s and 60s, for no other reason than I just like that era, and we would run out of time if we went much further than that. So here's a collection of those, and then at the end of the show, including for the trailer, we will nudge our way into the 70s and a slightly different sound that came along for the Western. And if you don't know what I mean by big orchestral score, we're going to settle that issue right away by starting off with surely the most recognizable of Western movie soundtracks and one of the most recognizable movie themes, period. I can't remember where I heard this story, but I remember reading somewhere that the composer Elmer Bernstein looked at a rough cut of The Magnificent Seven and found the film to be somewhat stately in its pacing, and thus he figured he'd have to make the music pretty spirited to help move things along. And spirited it is, this Hollywood adaptation of the Japanese masterpiece Seven Samurai by Akira Kurosawa. Among the gunfighters for hire in the story, Yul Brynner, Steve McQueen, Charles Bronson, and James Coburn, a movie crammed with good people and good music. Here's Elmer Bernstein's opening theme for The Magnificent Seven. Thank you. The music from the 1960 film The Magnificent Seven, composed by Elmer Bernstein. Heard there in an arrangement from a CD of Western movie themes performed by the Cincinnati Pops Orchestra, conducted by Eric Kunzel. My dad, a big fan of Western movies, had that CD, and I really like that lively version. So that big sound, you know, with the strings running wild and the horns blaring and the different rhythms charging along, it's a particular kind of Western movie feel, for sure, but Bernstein didn't invent that. The sound has many influences, like Aaron Copland's rodeo ballet music, which itself used folk melodies for its inspiration. Another film of this era that just epitomizes that kind of sweeping grandeur, conjuring up the immensity of Western plains and skies, is the 1958 release The Big Country, composed by Jerome Moros, a New Yorker who spent much of his energy composing for the concert hall, I guess, but really came up with a signature work for this film. Moros would say that when he took his first cross-country train trip, he got off the train at Albuquerque and just stood there and drank in the vistas, something that he drew upon when it came time to create the sound of a large-scale drama set in Texas. Here is the opening theme for The Big Country. music from the big country, an aptly titled Western composed by Jerome Moros, also taken from that CD by the Cincinnati Pops. He got his only Oscar nomination for that huge scaled music, which I think really does just sound like a Western. Let's travel back in the family tree of Western music for a wonderful soundtrack from the director Howard Hawks's 1948 film Red River, one of the mightiest sagas of the West. An interesting film on a number of levels, not least its casting John Wayne in a less than heroic role and then putting him opposite one of those newfangled method actors, Montgomery Clift. The score is by Dmitri Tiomkin, and we will hear a cue titled Birth of the Red River Dee. That's a reference to John Wayne's sprawling cattle ranch, which incorporates many of the score's themes. Music from Red River, one of the signature westerns, composed by Dmitri Tiomkin. The entire score there was recorded for record by conductor William Stromberg and the Moscow Symphony Orchestra and Choir. Yes, Moscow. The Duke must be rolling over in his grave. You're listening to The Music in the Movies. I'm Robert Horton, and we are talking about movie western music. One thing about that director, Howard Hawks, when something worked, he would reuse it. And a decade later, when it came time to do Rio Bravo, he brought Tiomkin back and used one of the melodies you just heard for a song sequence where Dean Martin and Ricky Nelson could do a little crooning. One of the things I like about movie history is the unlikely trajectories of people. In 1894, when the Old West was still a thing, Dmitry Tiomkin was born a world away in Russia to a Jewish family, raised to be a concert pianist with classical training, leaving Russia after the revolution, eventually breaking his arm, which put an end to the performer goals, but then composing music in Hollywood for Frank Capra Pictures and Red River, and even changing the Western movie score with his music for High Noon, including the hit song from that movie. Staying with the classics, we must mention John Ford, the dean of Western film directors. And one of the things about the music in Ford's films is that it is often rife with folk melodies, of which this filmmaker was very fond. In the opening credits music for the 1949 film She Wore a Yellow Ribbon, the title of the movie itself gives away the game, the name of a folk song associated with U.S. cavalry, the subject of that John Ford, John Wayne film. Here's the conductor-composer Richard Hageman's arrangement for the opening credits of She Wore a Yellow Ribbon. That opening credits music for She Wore a Yellow Ribbon not only uses the folk tune of that title, but also the traditional The Girl I Left Behind Me, another popular marching song, arranged there by Richard Hageman for John Ford's 1949 film. Hageman had previously won an Oscar for similar work on Ford's classic Stagecoach. As long as we're into the classics, let's consider a famous Western title from the 50s, Shane, kind of a quintessential Western story of the wide open spaces giving way to progress. The music by Victor Young is very much in our style here today, but you'll hear that it has a lyrical sort of reflective quality, yet still swaying to the imagined hoofbeats of the horse under the buckskin-clad cowboy. music from the 1953 film Shane, composed by Victor Young. Well, one of our favorite composers on this show, Bernard Herrmann, is not someone we automatically associate with Westerns, I suppose, more likely his work with Alfred Hitchcock or maybe in the realm of the fantastic. But Herrmann did an atmospheric job on the 1954 Gary Cooper picture, Garden of Evil, movie I remember watching on TV with my dad one night and finding a suitably tense Western tale. This cue is titled The Feather. Music from the Western film Garden of Evil, composed by Bernard Herrmann. That's from a recording of the entire score by, again, there's the Moscow Symphony Orchestra conducted by William Stromberg. The mid-1950s saw a series of more serious Westerns, but other than that, it's hard to categorize Johnny Guitar from 1954, in which Joan Crawford plays a saloon owner who takes in Sterling Hayden's traveling guitar man, a crazed and compelling movie that points toward a more neurotic Western to come, even manages to mix in some commentary on the Red Scare in America at that time. This one's a contrast to the more rousing scores of the era, as the composer Victor Young takes a moody approach. Music from Johnny Guitar, composed by Victor Young, and if it seems like that one could use some lyrics, it was given them and sung by Peggy Lee. But we played that version on our previous Western show. Okay, let's return to Dmitri Tiomkin. You know, what better project for the classically educated Russian-born composer to tackle than the Alamo, an all-American piece of mythology, the subject of a huge-scaled 1960 film in which John Wayne not only played Davy Crockett, but also directed the movie. Here's the overture to Tiomkin's Oscar-nominated score, and you're going to hear within it the melody that became Tiomkin's Oscar-nominated song from that film, The Green Leaves of Summer. The overture, taken from the original soundtrack of The Alamo, composed by Dmitri Tiomkin. And if you're a fan of easy listening songs from that era, you can hear The Green Leaves of Summer gliding along in there. An Oscar nominated song and a big hit at the time for the Brothers Four, the vocal group founded out of the University of Washington. You're listening to The Music in the Movies. I'm Robert Horton, and we are hearing music from Western films. Another signature Western theme of this era came out of another huge epic, How the West Was Won, released in 1962 and filmed in Cinerama, that three-camera process. And the veteran composer Alfred Newman came through with a suitably massive score. We're going to hear just a bit of that, the title music. Getting us off to a good start for How the West Was Won there, a lengthy opus that gave Alfred Newman plenty of canvas to fill. Well, I've got an excuse now to play a favorite Western theme of mine, quite a dramatic piece from the 1961 film One-Eyed Jacks, the only movie directed by Marlon Brando, who took over the job when Stanley Kubrick parted ways with the project. The movie might not be great, but it is a very unusual, brooding, tortured Western, based on a great novel, by the way, The Automatic Death of Henry Jones by Charles Nider. Music for the opening credits here is composed by Hugo Friedhofer, who finds a very romantic theme for Brando's offbeat Western.
Thank you.
music from Marlon Brando's film One-Eyed Jacks, composed by Hugo Friedhofer. Well, we're in the 1960s now, and we can listen to a little music that starts to bend that more traditional, big, sweeping orchestral sound. And in fact, the Western itself was going to bend, start to get revised by some ambitious directors. The myth of the West being examined a little more skeptically as the decade went on. And the Westerns made by an Italian filmmaker, Sergio Leone, were a part of that reevaluation. Notably, the three spaghetti Westerns he made with the actor Clint Eastwood and the composer Ennio Morricone. The crazy musical scores for these films were as much a part of making the films feel different as the cynical storylines and Leone's operatic style. It's kind of hard to pick a favorite. Probably the most famous, I suppose, is the theme from The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. But I'm going to opt for the opening music from For a Few Dollars More. That's the second film in the group. Scored for a whistling man, a mouth harp, some kind of hornpipe, electric guitar, and grunting vocalizations, among other things. This is Morricone remaking what the Western sounds like. All those instruments we mentioned, plus gunshots, that's the opening theme music from the 1965 film For a Few Dollars More, composed by the great Ennio Morricone, one of the biggest names in film music and certainly one of the most prolific. When those spaghetti westerns cleaned up at the box office, Leone got a shot at making a film on a bigger budget, even doing some shooting in the United States. And that dream western was called Once Upon a Time in the West, released in 1968. Once again, Morricone does the duties, and I'm going to choose a favorite track here. It's a cue titled The Grand Massacre from early in the film when the villain, disorientingly played by an actor we are accustomed to seeing as the good guy, Henry Fonda, carries out a fiendish attack.
Thank you.
That's a piece of Ennio Morricone's big score for Once Upon a Time in the West. You're listening to the Music of the Movies. I'm Robert Horton. We are listening to movie Western scores today. Well, you know, although John Wayne was still making movies at the end of the 60s and the beginning of the 70s, with sort of traditional sounding music, things had obviously drastically changed in the sound of the Western film. In the movies of the director Sam Peckinpah, this was also true, and his classic 1969 film The Wild Bunch was no exception, instantly notorious for its unprecedented level of violence. The Wild Bunch also had a musical score that sounded decidedly modern in its edginess. Jerry Fielding, who had a career that included being blacklisted in the 1950s, had quite a triumph with his unusual score. We're going to hear a part of the main title sequence here, one of the greatest openings in movie history, as chaos is about to descend on some bounty hunters, some unsuspecting townsfolk, and definitely the Wild Bunch.
Thank you.
suspenseful music from the brilliant opening sequence of The Wild Bunch, a sequence also punctuated by a brass band squawking out Shall We Gather at the River, composed by Jerry Fielding, who was Oscar-nominated for that very modern-sounding score. Yes, we come to the trailer, and our selection this time is a curious case of movie music doing double duty in two different films released a few years apart. The great Jerry Goldsmith originally composed this tune for the 1967 movie The Flim Flam Man, very memorable underrated comedy with George C. Scott as a con man, and maybe because the movie wasn't seen that much, and maybe because apparently there was a composer's strike going on during the preparation of the 1972 film The Culpeper Cattle Company, in which the cue is recycled, it does this double duty. Since that latter movie is a Western, I technically get to include this catchy tune here, which I've been wanting to play for a long time. Here's a couple of cues from the Flim Flam Man version of the melody, the main title, and On the Road Again. Music used in two different movies there, one of them a bona fide Western, The Culpeper Cattle Company, and the other one more a piece of Americana, I guess, The Flim Flam Man, from whence those selections were drawn, composed by Jerry Goldsmith. Music I've had in my head since seeing The Flim Flam Man on TV about 50 years ago or so. By the way, there were lyrics commissioned for that melody from an upcoming young songwriter who had strong family connections in Hollywood movie music. But ultimately, the movie did not use Randy Newman's lyrical contribution. Well, that's our look at big movie Western themes, and we're going to go the other direction with our outro, a stripped-down guitar piece from a 1973 movie gem that was paying tribute to the Western while helping usher out the old ways of telling those stories. Sam Peckinpah's film Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid took a number of new ways of telling the story, and getting Bob Dylan to compose the soundtrack, as well as play a small role in the movie, was one of those ways. This is where Dylan's Knockin' on Heaven's Door comes from, by the way, but we're going to listen to the instrumental main title music, one of Dylan's evocative variations on the main Billy theme. I'm Robert Horton, and I thank you for listening to The Music and the Movies.